This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. I'm glad you could join us for today's program. What we're going to be looking at today is the prophets. Now, why do I bring up that particular topic? Well, there are a lot of people, even scholars of religion, who don't believe Christianity is very different from any other religion. You see a lot of people today who say there are many ways to God, there are many ways to salvation, but I disagree with that contention. In fact, the Bible is very clear that there's only one way to salvation, and it's through Jesus Christ. So when there are people out there who are telling others, people who are supposedly intelligent, quote-unquote scholars, telling others that the biblical prophets are no different than prophets of other religions, that Jesus Christ is no different than the gods of other religions, I take issue with that. When you look at the story of Jesus Christ, there are stories of gods that predate Jesus Christ. You can look at Horus, you can look at Tammuz, you can look at various other pagan gods who were born, who died, who were resurrected from the dead. But when you investigate the details of the story, the differences between Jesus Christ and these other gods, there are vast differences that make you realize that Christianity is unique. It is different from these other religions. The same thing is true when you study the biblical prophets and compare them to the prophets or prognosticators or seers or diviners or enchanters, soothsayers of these other religions. There are vast differences between these two categories, and I want to make you aware of those differences on today's program. And the reason I want to make you aware of that is I want you to see that Christianity is different. The Bible is different from other religions, and hopefully the evidence I'll submit to you today will get you interested in studying about Christianity, how different it is, and looking into why is it different and what you might need to do about that. Before we go any further, though, on today's program, what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer you some free literature and also some free CDs today. What we're going to offer you is a pamphlet that is titled Balaam, the Prophet of Air. Who was Balaam and what were his great errors? You need to get this pamphlet because Balaam is a prophet mentioned in the Bible, but you will see he's not like the other prophets when I mention Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah. You need to find out what was different between Balaam and the biblical prophets that many of us are aware of. We also want to offer you on today's program two CDs. One of these CDs is titled The Conditional Nature of Prophecy, and the second is titled Prophecy, Convincing Factor. Both of these CDs can lead to your greater understanding of the prophets and prophecy from the Bible. To get all three of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can visit our website to order. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. As I said at the top of this program, we're talking specifically today about how different the biblical prophets are from the prophets of pagan religion, the prophets of the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans, the religious teachers of these various religions. How are the prophets and what they did and the message they had, how is that different from these other religious traditions and their religious teachers and leaders? Because here's why we're doing this today, folks. There are people today who are going to tell you that the prophets of the Bible are no different than these other religious teachers and leaders, that they're all the same, you can put them all in the same category, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly. We will give you evidence today of how different the Israelite prophets were from the prophets of these other religions, and there's a reason for that difference. Because the prophets of the Bible were speaking for the one and true and only God, where the prophets for these other pagan religions and other religions extant today were speaking for, yes, false gods, ladies and gentlemen. So we want to address that on today's program. Now, what I'd like to do to get things rolling is I'd like us to turn, if you have your Bibles handy, to Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to address this particular prophet that is mentioned here, and his name was Balaam. And we're going to look at something about this particular prophet. Now, the story of Balaam goes from Numbers chapter 22 through Numbers chapter 24. And we don't have time to read all of that for you today or address all of it for you. We did offer you some literature on that today. But I want to focus on one particular verse in Numbers 22 and verse 7. Now here's what's going on. Israel has come into this land, and some of the folks who already lived in that land had a little bit of an issue with this, and they wanted to consult this prophet Balaam about the situation. Now notice how they approach him in Numbers 22 and verse 7. Here's what it said. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So Balak wanted to get this information. Now notice what they brought with them, the rewards of divination. What are the rewards of divination? Folks, a lot of these prophets in these pagan religions got paid. They got paid to prophesy. So they got paid also to lie to these kings so they could get paid. And a lot of these prophets, you will find out, were liars and deceivers, and they were not doing what the true prophets of God were doing, who didn't get paid to give their message from God to the people. So that's one major thing that's different right from the get-go. But also notice what it says here in verse 7 of Numbers 22. The rewards of divination. What is divination, and why are the prophets doing it? Because many of these false prophets would use methods like divination to decide what was going to happen in the future or what was going to happen in a particular occurrence in time and let the kings that they were working for understand the times and the seasons in which they lived. But notice this about divination. The Bible speaks wholeheartedly against it. So the Bible is saying, don't do what these other nations' prophets and seers are doing. I don't want that to be done. God is stating right here that He is a different God. He is not like these other gods, these other religions that are mentioned in the pages of your Bible. So I'd like to turn over to Leviticus 19 and verse 26 and point that out to you. Notice what it says here Leviticus 19 in verse 26, it says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment," some translations say divination, "nor observe times," sorcery, astrology, or other words that could be put in there. So what was going on? Within these pagan nations, these prophets within those nations were using these various means to prophesy. You'll read in the pages of your Bible, when God had a prophecy for His people, He would give it directly to His prophets. He would choose His prophets, and then they would deliver that message. They didn't get paid for this, ladies and gentlemen. God would deliver that message right to them. And what's interesting about the prophets that you will find is many of them were not into this. They really didn't want to do this. God had them do this particular job. Something else that's interesting, I want to provide you a definition of divination, because it's not a word that's very popular in our lexicons today, but divination is an attempt to discover hidden knowledge through mechanical means. It uses the interpretation of omens or the aid of supernatural powers. This was forbidden in the nation of Israel because it reflected a pagan concept of the world. And that concept was that the world was controlled by evil forces rather than a sovereign God. The pages of your Bible teach the opposite, that a sovereign God is in control and is above and beyond any other spiritual powers in this world. I believe there are other spiritual powers and forces in this world, and we need to be cognizant of that and wary of that, because when you begin to mess with these other powers through divination, you're playing with fire, ladies and gentlemen, and the God of the Bible forbade that to His nation of Israel. Now, I read a book titled The Prophets by a fellow named Abraham Heschel. And in Heschel's book, he addresses this tension between scholars, that there are some religious scholars who say, hey, all these prophets, they were the same. The biblical prophets, they were the same as the pagan prophets. They did basically the same thing. And Heschel provides examples in his book that that is not the case at all. That when you take the time to actually study the differences between the biblical prophets and the false prophets of Assyria, Greece, Rome, and Babylonia, you will see the vast difference in how these prophets operated. And I want to provide you with some of that evidence today. Now, when we say divination, one of the most popular ways of divining information among the ancient peoples that we're talking about is something called hepatoscopy. Hepatoscopy. Now, that's a difficult word. What is hepatoscopy? Well, hepatoscopy is using the liver of a slaughtered animal, usually a sheep, to divine or to foretell the future. So what they would do is they would slaughter a sheep, and then they would pull that liver out of the sheep, lay it before them, and look at the patterns upon that liver. And through the patterns on that liver, they would then decide how to prophesy about things. Now ask yourself if that makes sense to you. Is it possible that they created this method and told the king, this is how we're going to do it, and we're creating a ruse for that king to believe in? That's what I think about it. But this slaughtering of animals and using the entrails of the animal to determine things was one way of divining the future. They also used dreams. They used the flight of birds. They used the movement of animals. They used astral signs to determine what was going to take place in their lives, what was going to take place in their history, and the pages of your Bible are clear that the God of the Bible does not want his people taking part in those practices, and he definitely did not have his prophets doing those types of things. They did interpret dreams when we read the book of Daniel, but God also used pagans to do his bidding at times. So you need to understand that when you look at this whole big story about the prophets of the Bible versus the prophets of these other religions. Let me just give you a couple other examples that were cited by Heschel as differences between the biblical prophets and the prophets of these other religions of the Greeks, the Romans, the Babylonians, Egyptians, etc. There was something called the Talking Oak of Zeus that was mentioned in Heschel's book, The Prophets. Now, what was the Talking Oak of Zeus? Well, there was a shrine to the god Zeus, and at this shrine was a large oak tree. And the prophets of Zeus would wait at the oak tree until the winds blew the leaves of that oak tree. And you know, if you've ever been near a tree as the wind was blowing, you hear that rustling of the leaves. Well, these prophets would then listen to that rustling and tell people that Zeus is saying this now. They would prophesy based upon the rustling of the leaves of the tree. Another example. There was a woman, a Delphic woman known as Pythia, and they believed that she was inspired by the god Apollo. So she would be seated upon a tripod over a sacred rock, and she would fall into murmurings and ecstatic speech. And then prophets of Apollo who were nearby would interpret this ecstatic speech of this woman. And in a sense, say they were prophesying for the god Apollo. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you read about how God gave messages to his prophets, it was very different from what I've just described to you. So those scholars who say the prophets of the Bible are similar to these other prophets in these other religions, I don't know where those guys are coming from, to be quite honest with you. But let's look at something from the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 18. I'd like to read you something. Deuteronomy 18, and we're going to pick it up in verse 10. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10. Listen to what it says. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Wow! What's he saying here? He's saying, I'm not only against these things, I don't want you to have anything to do with these things. I'm a different God. I'm the sovereign God of the universe. These are not gods. These are not true religions. I am it. And what did the Israelites do? They fell away from the truth of God. They began to actually do these types of practices. Prophets within Israel who were false prophets began to become diviners, enchanters, soothsayers, and follow the practices of the pagan nations around them. And God had to call up his true prophets, give them his word directly, and they had to take that word directly to the people. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a difference between the prophets of God and the prophets of these other religions, and God makes that distinctly clear within his word. Over and over within the prophetic writings of the Bible, God speaks against these practices, and he speaks against those Israelites and Judeans who were using these practices to say they were prophesying in his name. He makes that clear in a number of places. Let me just show you a scripture over here in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 6. Isaiah 2 and verse 6 says the following, "Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines." So again, the Philistines were near these folks, and he's saying they're becoming like these folks who are around them. We read this in Jeremiah over and over. Let me show you a scripture in Jeremiah 27 and verse 9. "Therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon." Because Jeremiah was telling them, you guys are in trouble. The Babylonians are going to take you down. And these false prophets were saying, no, this isn't going to happen to you. They were wrong. Jeremiah was right, because he was getting the word from the sovereign God. These others were not getting the sovereign God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a number of scriptures. I don't have time to get to all of them. You can go to Jeremiah 14, 14, Ezekiel 13, verses 6 and 9, Zechariah 10, verse 2, to read more about what I just told you in Jeremiah 27, 9. But what I want to conclude today's program with is another item that the scholars who don't believe the Israelite prophets were any different than the prophets of these pagan religions bring up from time to time. Within Heschel's book, he cited the example of the prophets of Mari. And Mari was a kingdom within the Middle Euphrates region. And they found three texts from this area that were related to the prophets at that time in this area of Mari. And within these texts, it said something to the effect, "The God has sent me. The God has sent me." And these scholars say, well, that's similar to the biblical prophets, where they say, "I got the word from God. I got the word from God," or "God spoke to me." Well, that part of it is similar. I'll give you that. But the message that these prophets of Mari had from their God is very different from the message the Israelite prophets had. The prophets of Mari, within these three texts that were uncovered, had a message from their God saying that the God was concerned with the upkeep of his sanctuary and how they needed to take care of his sanctuary. Ladies and gentlemen, the God of the Bible, the Israelite God, the message he had for his prophets to bring to the people was not a message about the upkeep of his sanctuary. It was a message about how his people could save themselves from destruction. He cared about them. He had compassion for them. It wasn't about him. It was about his people and taking care of them and saving them. They didn't heed that message, and he still said there's a way for them to come back to him and repent. That's a very different message than what the prophets of Mari, who were concerned with their own sanctuary, brought to their people. There are major differences between the prophets of the Bible and the prophets of these pagan nations. The prophets of the Bible were not sent so some particular act could be done. The prophets of the Bible were sent because of divine concern for the people. The prophets of Mari spoke for the God and the benefit of the God. The prophets of Israel spoke for the God and the benefit of the people. The prophets of Israel are part of a continuous history with a similar message over many years of time. The prophets of these other other nations did not have a continual message like the prophets of Israel did of a kingdom of God coming to this earth and how you could enter that kingdom. You had to repent. You had to come back to this God and follow His ways. You get that throughout the history of the prophets. There are no other prophets in any other religions who have a continual history with a similar message like that. Ladies and gentlemen, the religious leaders of other religions like Lao Tzu, Confucius, Siddhartha Gautama, the Greek philosophers, they did not claim to speak in the name of the sovereign God of the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophets of the Bible claim to speak in the name of the one and only God of the universe. The priests and prophets of paganism spoke about various spirits and powers and what they had to say. The prophets of the Bible spoke about the one and only true God. The prophets of the Bible are different from any other religious teachers in any other tradition. You need to understand why they are so different, why the Bible is different. Please join us again on another edition of the Armor of God. So long for now.
Wow, did Mike present us a challenge on today's program, clearly illustrating to us that Christianity and the prophets are unique among religions and all religious teachers. And he underscored this very clearly to us, and I think all of us would admit that God, the true God, the living God, communicated to His prophets directly, and contrasting that method with the way the pagans arrived at their information was indeed quite revealing. I mean, frankly, in understanding this, I can't help but to think and consider the fact that it is a lot of nonsense that these pagans involved themselves with. I mean, come on, using the liver of animals or interpretations of dreams and birds and even leaves from oak trees? I mean, that isn't the kind of method that God used to communicate His messages to His true servants and to get a message to humanity. And no, that's not the way. God, as a matter of fact, tells us very clearly in this book not to involve yourself in those kinds of practices. Stay away from tarot card readers. Stay away from these seances. Stay away from people with fortune-telling talents that they claim or channelers. Don't get involved in astrology. Stay away from these things, my friends, because God is not amused at these kinds of practices. As a matter of fact, He's very clear not to use those kinds of things to attempt to ingratiate yourself into a relationship with Him like that. My friends, let us help you to better understand this. Call now, 888-578-8791. Ask for these three offers: Balaam, the prophet of error, and the conditional nature of prophecy. That's both of these things are free, along with the one-hour presentation called Prophecy, the Convincing Factor. And it's gives me great pleasure to tell you these are free. All you got to do is dial that number, 888-578-8791. And don't forget about that website at www.cgi.org. My friends, this is Bill Watson, reminding you always, as we often do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.